Now, windows are amazing things, aren't they? You can clean them, you can enjoy this clear view, but little by little, the window seems to just attract things to it, doesn't it? It gets dirtier and dirtier, and before long, it's filthy, isn't it? I don't know about your windows at your house, but I was looking out my window in my office the other day, and I could see something on the window. I couldn't quite work out what it was. And then as the sun sort of drops over there and it hits the window, and it then becomes harder and harder to see out the window. And when I looked, I noticed that it had all these little dots all over the window. Well, you know, we have a coffee machine there, or we knock the coffee out, and little dots of coffee just go up onto the window. And over the last sort of 6 months, I can't remember when I last cleaned it, it's probably more than 6 months ago, that so many dots had come across this, that there was this haze that made it hard to see through the glass. Now, when I cleaned it, wow, it's amazing. It looks like it's open the whole time. This window looks so clean. And even when I was working on it on this sermon the other day, I looked out and it's still clean. There's a few dots on it, but it still looks clean. It looks clear. Now, the whole passage that we're looking at today is in response to the Pharisees who are seeking clarity from Jesus about the kingdom of God. They ask Jesus a question, and we see this in verses 20 and 21. They ask Jesus a question. It says there, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not something observable. No one will say, 'See here or there.' For you see, the kingdom of God is in your midst." Now, they're asking about the kingdom of God and when it will come. Now, the kingdom of God has been a theme throughout Luke, and we're picking up Luke again this term. This is our fourth term of going through Luke. So I'm trying to help you remember that actually, yeah, the kingdom of God was a theme. Yes, we have seen that in the last three terms of looking at Luke. And Jesus has been speaking about the kingdom in a whole host of ways. So if you're thinking, oh, yeah, what is the kingdom? I'm a little confused. Yeah, that's okay. It's okay because Jesus has been saying different things about the kingdom of God. He said it was necessary to proclaim the kingdom of God in chapter 4, verse 43. He says it's necessary for me to proclaim the good news about the kingdom of God to those other towns also. He said the poor were blessed because of the kingdom. That's in 6:20. He said, "Blessed are you who are poor because the kingdom of God is yours." And that's in the Beatitudes, isn't it? He said that the least of the kingdom are greater than John the Baptist. That's an interesting one, isn't it? He said, "I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And we've seen that Jesus went from town to town preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And we see that in chapter 8, verse 1, where it says there, he was preaching and telling the good news of the kingdom of God. Now you may be thinking, well, what is the kingdom of God, John? What is the kingdom of God? See, the way Jesus has used it in these verses gives us a range of understanding. There's even more verses we can look at. There's about 18 times it talks about the kingdom of God before the passage we're looking at today. But all of them are centered around Jesus and bring up the idea of forgiveness of sins. And what we see in these verses are that the kingdom of God speaks about people understanding the forgiveness that Jesus offers. It's a message that Jesus preaches himself to people. It's a message that people will continue to preach even today. And then there's passages that speak about the kingdom coming when Jesus returns. So let me use an image to help you understand this idea. See, in this image we see that the age, that's the line at the bottom, is representing the years of life. And then at the end, the vertical line, when Jesus returns, it says the age to come. And one way of understanding the kingdom of God, is that the age now, the age represents now, the age to come is the future when Jesus returns, and when Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God being in both places, I think that's when we can get confused, isn't it? And we often speak about it being the now and not yet. So I've got another slide for you here that might help. And what we see here is that the arrow shows that the idea of that the future or the age to come has been brought into the present age through Jesus, and Jesus brings blessings of the age to come into this age. And so we have things like the Spirit, and we have miracles and other things. And all that is a sign of what's to come. And what happens is we get this glimpse of what is to come. Now, that's why in verse 21, Jesus says to them, don't think that the kingdom of God is here or there, but that the kingdom of God is in your midst. He's talking about Jesus with them. So Jesus is with them now. He's in their midst. And that's why that phrase is said that way. So the kingdom of God is not here or there, but the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's talking about Jesus with them right there. But then as we go through the passage, he also speaks about the age to come. And what Jesus is doing, he's bringing clarity to those who want to follow Jesus. So he's speaking to his disciples now. And he says three things that they shouldn't do, that they should not do, when it comes to the kingdom. Now you'll see these in your outline, and you might like to have a Bible open to Luke 17, that will help. I'll have some verses up on the screen for you. But the first thing that Jesus tells the disciples in this passage is not to be tricked. Don't be tricked. Don't be tricked into thinking that the kingdom is already here. Now we're looking at verses 22 to 25. Notice that the Pharisees asked the question in verses 20 and 21, and they got an answer, and now Jesus turns to his disciples to teach them. And you'll notice that some of verse 21 is now repeated in verse 23. He turned to a different group of people and he says to them, don't be tricked. In verses 20 and 23, Jesus says to them as well, they will say to you, look here, look there. But Jesus warns them, don't follow them. Don't run after them. Don't be tricked. Now look at this video with me. Are we ready, Reuben?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to do my version of a classic rope trick. So we have one short piece of rope, we have one medium piece, and we have one long piece. Now, you're going to get the best look at this that anybody's ever gotten. So if I cheat, you're going to know it, first of all. Now, I've got to find the center of each rope, and the best way to find the middle is simply by putting all the ends together. And so we're going to put the ends together just like this. And now when we pull over here, we can all look at the middle of those ropes. Now I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, Tom's going to help me. He's going to blow on these ropes. Are you ready for this? All right, one, two, three. And just like that, we end up with three medium pieces of rope. The first rope is now a medium piece of rope. It used to be a little bitty short piece. The second, of course, is a medium. And finally, that long one had to shrink almost 12 inches to become a medium piece of rope. And so I'm going to do my version of a classic.
Don't be tricked. All right? Don't be tricked. Now, those ropes might appear to be the same lengths at the end, but let me tell you, they are not the same length. If you watch it a few times, you'll see he does some amazing things later on. But he tricks you. He tricks you into thinking that these ropes are all the same length. He actually shows you the same rope three times. Did you notice that? Yeah, maybe you didn't notice that. You can have a look later. I can show you later. Now, he's trying to make us marvel. He's trying to make us wonder. He's trying to make us think, oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe you can stretch these ropes and shrink the ropes. But he didn't. And this is what Jesus warns them against here. Don't get tricked into thinking that Jesus has already returned. Why? Because it will be very clear when Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back, it will be very clear. And you might be thinking, well, how clear will it be? How clear will it be? Well, look at verse 24. It says there, "For as the lightning flashes from horizon to horizon and lights up the sky, so the Son of Man will be in his day." Now, I remember when our friend Maria was here. I don't know if you remember when Maria was here. There was this huge thunderstorm on one afternoon while she was here. She'd arrived home about 3 minutes before it hit. And she's like, "Oh, it's really windy." And I looked out and went, "Oh, yeah, really dark clouds. Not green, but, you know, they're really dark. Oh, we're going to have a thunderstorm." And she's like, "What? Really?" And then it started about 3 minutes later. She was cowering in the house. I don't think she'd ever experienced a thunderstorm before. We didn't have them in Ecuador. And all this lightning and flashing and thunder. The dark sky holding back the sun becomes bright. It was clear, wasn't it? It was clear when the flashes of lightning came across the sky. The noise, the light. And Jesus says to his disciples that when he returns, it will be like a thunderstorm. It will be noticeable to everyone. Everyone will see. But then he reminds them what needs to happen first before he returns. He says he needs to die on the cross. You know, Jesus is on his road trip to Jerusalem. And what we see in verse 25 is that first it is necessary that he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. He's on the road to his death. It must happen first. Signs of the kingdom are already here because of his miracles, because of what Jesus is teaching. They're being brought forward from the age to come into the present age with Jesus. But don't get tricked. Don't get tricked into thinking that the kingdom is already here or it has already come. Because when it does come, it will be clear like the thunder in the sky. It's a great reminder for us, isn't it? That Jesus is coming back. And that when he does, it'll be clear like thunder in the sky. You won't miss it. The kingdom will come in all its fullness, and when Jesus returns, we will know it. Remember the image of the now, not yet. It's here, Jesus in their midst. We have the Spirit with us. It's partially here, but it will fully come. The kingdom will fully come when Jesus returns at the age to come. So in the meantime, don't get tricked into thinking it's already here. That's the first thing that Jesus teaches the disciples about the kingdom. Now, the second thing he teaches them is not to ignore the coming of the kingdom. Now, in this section, Jesus gives the disciples two examples, one with Noah, another with Lot. If you know your Old Testament, this might be familiar, but Noah can be found in Genesis in chapter 6 to 9. It's a sad story, one where the Lord is sad at how rebellious people have become. And he sets about to destroy them. He sets about to destroy humanity, but he has mercy on Noah and his family. And Jesus says here in verses 26 and 27 that what happened in Noah's day will happen in the days of the Son of Man. Now, Jesus uses the word Son of Man here because that's the common phrase from the Old Testament that spoke about Jesus who would come. It speaks about a Son of Man who would come. And Jesus says, well, that's me, that Son of Man, that's me. And he says the same thing will happen. What are they? Look at verse 27 there. It says, "People went on eating, drinking, marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Jesus is saying that even though Noah built the ark and he told the people that God was going to destroy everything, they just ignored him. They continued to eat, drink, get married. They continued to be distracted with earthly pleasures and ignored the signs that Noah told them that the world was going to be destroyed. Jesus is saying to his disciples, people will ignore him and continue to live without him. People will be so preoccupied with their life and ignoring the knowledge of Jesus that Jesus will return and they will continue to do whatever is pleasing them. And when Jesus returns, well, it will all end. And Jesus says, don't ignore the fact that the kingdom is coming. It will come. It will be clear. It's like he's saying, make sure you're ready. Jesus then gives another example to help them not ignore the coming of the kingdom. This time it's in verses 28 and 29. This one's an example from Genesis 19. It's about Lot. And in Genesis 19, the angels went to Lot and his wife, and after a night of turmoil, the angels told Lot and his family to leave. He did leave. There were some dramas, but no one else left with Lot. They continued to ignore the Lord God, and it's a similar pattern to Noah. The people continued to do what they thought was best, and they ignored the Lord God, and destruction came on them while they went about their regular work. As you keep looking at your Bibles, look now at verse 30. And Jesus says to his disciples, it will be like that on the day the Son of Man is revealed. The image I showed you before, the vertical line at the end tells us that the age to come is when Jesus returns. And at the start of the age to come, people will continue to do what they want. They won't be ready for Jesus to come back. They'll be preoccupied with many things. And Jesus is saying, make sure you're ready. Don't ignore the coming of the kingdom of God. It's a bit like standing in the middle of the street and seeing a car coming and towards you and you don't step out of the way. If you stay there and the car continues, you get hit. And Jesus is saying to us, don't ignore the coming of the kingdom of God. It is coming. So make sure you're ready. Don't be tricked into thinking that it's already here. And don't ignore that it's coming. So what's the last thing that he tells his disciples? He says to them, don't look back. Don't look back. Now we're in verses 31 to 37 here. And Jesus tells them some more about that the day that he returns. We get two examples in verse 31. Jesus says to them, on that day, a man on the housetop whose belongings are in the house must not come down to get them. Likewise, the man who is in the field must not turn back. And both examples are about doing unnecessary things when the Lord returns. This is speaking about the age to come. There's no need to go back and get whatever's in the house. And Jesus makes a connection to the story of Lot that we just heard. Look at verse 32. He says, remember Lot's wife. Do you remember what happened to Lot's wife? Yeah, she turned into a pillar of salt because she turned back. She turned back and looked when she was told not to. So we've got three examples here of not turning back. But what does it mean? What does it mean not to turn back? Well, let's go to verse 33. Because that gives us the clarity we need to know and the reason why it's important not to look back. It says there, whoever tries to make his life secure will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. Jesus is saying, if you look back, it's like trying to secure your own life, your own eternal life. It's about trusting self when all Jesus wants is for them to trust him, to lose their life for him. To look back means trust in yourself, in your own things. But Jesus is urging them to trust him for eternal life, to give yourself over to Christ. Give yourself over to Jesus and trust him for eternal life. Don't look back at what you've done, at what you've accumulated, or any other thing that you believe has earned you the right to eternal life with Jesus. You know, maybe you think you're a good person, that you've done enough, that you've been generous, you've cared for other people, You've done some pretty amazing things in your life. And if you're looking back at them as though they're the reason that Jesus will let you into his kingdom, then stop. Stop trusting in self. Stop looking back, but look to Jesus. Lose your life with Jesus. Trust in the finished work of Jesus for you. When Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife," he was helping them to realize that when he returns, there won't be time to look back. But it'll be time when every knee will bow before Jesus. So trust him. Look forward to the coming of the kingdom. Look forward to losing your life with Jesus. Now, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been speaking a lot about Vanuatu with Brian and Vanessa about to leave to help out at the seminary there. Now, the seminary wasn't always there, believe it or not. There was a guy called John Patton who was a missionary to the New Hebrides, as he called it. Now it's Vanuatu. And he went to translate the Bible. In a book about him, the chief describes what John was doing, John Patton was doing, as so excited. He was so excited that one day he might hear God's words come off the page. You know, obviously he didn't know how to read, and John had the book, and he says, "Oh, is it going to speak to me now?" And he says, no, I'm going to teach you how to read it so that the words speak to you." Great story. But as John Patton was translating, he couldn't work out what to use, what word to use for trust in John 3:16. He prayed about it. He wrestled, trying to think, "Oh, what's going to be the right word?" And then one day, a local person came into his room exhausted and said, "Oh, it's good to rest my weight in this chair." And he went, "Oh, that's it. That's the word. What is that word?" It was the word he was looking for, and this is how he translated it in John 3:16. He said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever rests his weight on Jesus will not perish but have eternal life." Lay your weight on Jesus. Rest on Jesus. Trust in Jesus. It's a great image, isn't it? Are you laying your weight on Jesus? Are you trusting his sacrifice is sufficient for covering over all your sins? Is he the one you're looking to and trusting? Friends, this is an important step to being in a relationship with Jesus, to be a participant in the coming kingdom of God. Don't look back at your efforts, but lay your weight on Jesus. The coming of the kingdom is going to happen. Don't think the stains on the window are going to stop you from seeing it clearly. Jesus will return, so don't be tricked that it's something else. Don't ignore the kingdom, and don't look back on all your works as though they're the things that will bring you into his kingdom. But trust in Jesus. Lay your weight on him. Let's pray. Now, Father God, thank you for making it clear that your son will return. Thank you that we don't need to worry that we might miss it, because it will be very clear. We pray that we might not ignore the coming of your kingdom. We pray for our friends and family that they too may have their eyes open to see you clearly and to not ignore the coming of your kingdom, but turn to you and trust that you are able to cover over all our sins and bring us into your eternal kingdom. Lord, thank you, and help us to lay our weight on you. And we pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.